Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Bold Gecko Podcast. I'm Ive, and today we're talking about the man himself. You know, if there was a footballer that represents Wakanda forever, the Black Panther, to me, if I was going to pick, like if there was a movie and they say, oh, we're going to use a footballer, pick an African footballer, it's definitely going to be this man, Pierre-Emerick Emiliano Francois Aubameyang, because he has the pace, he has the energy, he has the vibes, always in the fast cars, the smile, he embodies it to me. And we're talking about him today. Where are we talking about Aubameyang, and from what angle? First of all, earlier this week, he had to leave the African Nations Cup. This is one of the top players that we have in Africa that we're all expected to see in the Nations Cup, and probably be his last Nations Cup match, because he's 32 and a half. He'll be 33 in June, and the next 2 years will be 35. Most likely he might not still be in that top form or top shape that he's kind of now, and maybe he might not even be invited to play the Nations Cup with Gabon if they even get to qualify at all. So it's very sad that he had to leave this stage with COVID, but it's understandable because we are in very strange times right now in football with COVID and everything just climbing their heads, things that have never happened ever before, and we are having to live with it. So it's kind of sad that we are missing. And not only that, he already has issues with Arsenal already, even before the Nations Cup, where he was stripped of his captaincy. And then we're going to go deep into, does he really deserve to be stripped? What actually happened? Not only that, is he the kind of player that is used to breaking rules? Is he this stubborn guy, or is he not? So we'll talk about who Aubameyang really is, his childhood, the home he's from, the kind of footballer he is. So we'll start, first of all, as we always do, with his records. Where are the clubs he has played for? So, getting straight to it, Aubameyang was born on the 18th of June in 1989, and he's a striker who currently plays for Arsenal, as we said before. So, Aubameyang started his career at the age of 18 in AC Milan. Now, who is Aubameyang? From what home does he come from? It will interest you to know that his father, Pierre Aubameyang, was also a footballer. Not just anyhow footballer, he was the captain of Gabon too, and he was a defender. And Aubameyang, unlike most footballers, is from a rich home, because his father was a top footballer, no doubt. He made football money, and then his children were able to enjoy that benefit. He's also multilingual. He can speak French, he can speak German, he can speak Spanish, he can speak English, of course. And I used to think that it's only Lukaku. But it turns out Aubameyang can also do these things. He just doesn't talk much about it. And also, so like I said before, he started from AC Milan at the age of 18 in 2007. And he started well. There was a youth championship cup in Malaysia where he got the attention of all the scouts, because he scored against every opponent. And he finished that match with 7 goals in 6 matches at the age of 18 in AC Milan. Now, his father was able to use his links as not only as an ex-footballer, he was also a scout. If you remember very well, in 2007, this was a year after AC Milan won the Champions League. So they were hot. They were the big thing. So getting into the youth team of a club like that, definitely his father had to pull some strings for his young lad. At age 19, after playing for AC Milan at the youth stage, he never really got to the first team. He was sent on loans to different clubs. And first of those loans was to Dijon in France in the League 2. So his performances there were not good, were not bad too, because he was able to score 10 goals rather. He was able to score 10 goals and 2 assists in all competitions. But still not good enough for AC Milan, that they sent him on a loan again, now 20, to Lille. In Lille, he did not perform well at all. He was not able to score as much goals as he had been scoring previously. He was able to just score 2 goals in 14 appearances in a whole season. And in all those 14 appearances, he was able to start the match just 4 times. But his father, a powerful man as he is, was still able to pull some strings and get his son to move on loan away from Lille to Monaco. In Monaco, it was not all that too. He was just an average footballer. And things began to look up for him from the moment he went to Saint-Étienne at the age of 22. So now, unlike most footballers, he was not all rosy for Aubameyang. It's not like he was young and he was scoring goals at the age of 15 or 16, like Lukaku that we analyzed. This is somebody that had to learn as he was going on. You can see the influence of his father to try to strategically place him in places where he will be a better footballer. You can see cases like I read online about the manager at Saint Etienne talking about Aubameyang, saying when he came in that the first thing he noticed was that he had pace, that he was able to beat anybody on the run. And there were news that in 30 meters, Aubameyang broke even Usain Bolt's record. And several people are always saying he's the fastest footballer, even faster than Usain Bolt. But we never got to see that. There were several times where they tried to make two of them race together, but Aubameyang always turned it down, the humble guy that he is. And we never got to see that race. So from his loan to Monaco, he was loaned to Saint Etienne too, briefly. He was loaned there, and then he was able to score 4 goals and 3 assists the moment he got to Saint Etienne. And then they believed in him enough to give him a deal, and he was finally signed at the age of 22. Now, he repaid that faith. In his first season as a player, he was able to score 16 goals, and he was the fourth highest goal scorer in France then. And who were the other people ahead of him? We had Olivier Giroud with 21 goals, we had PSG's Nene with 21 goals, and we had Eden Hazard with 20 goals. He was the highest goal scorer. So at 16 for a 22-year-old Pierre Aubameyang, it was really a big deal. And that was when he got on the up trajectory, because that was when he was actually noticed, because he was able to score 16 goals. They're like, who is this young guy with the pace? He was, at that point, he was able to add finish to his game. And the way Saint Etienne were playing then, they were always playing the ball into spaces. And then the manager then said he was so fast that there was a wide margin for error. He was always able to beat anybody to the ball. And even till now, if you watch Aubameyang play, he's so physical that not only will he beat you to the ball, he can also stand shoulder to shoulder with any defender. He's that ruthless, and he has always been that ruthless. And then even then, you know, sometimes people say, oh, Aubameyang, maybe it was when he got money, he started buying all these fast cars. Even then, he had a very fast Aston Martin that was green. I had to check it. It was a very beautiful car, and it was his number in Saint Etienne that was there then. So coming from a rich home, he has always been exposed to affluence, and even back then he already had all these unique hairstyles. I think apart from Pogba, Aubameyang is the only person that really goes crazy, okay, and Neymar too, that goes crazy with their hairstyle. And it's back since way back, since when he was at Saint Etienne. It's not as if it was a thing he got when he was in Borussia Dortmund or when he came to Aston. It has always been his swag, and I like that swag. So at age 23, he moved to Borussia Dortmund, and man was fire. So when he got to Borussia Dortmund, that was when he started scoring goals upon goals. It was in the first season that he was able to score just 16 goals. Ever since then, there was a season he scored 36. There was another season he scored 41. And then he never looked back. He never scored less than 20 goals. And it was a thorn in the side for Bayern Munich. At that time, most people were expecting him that, oh, this guy is going to move from Borussia Dortmund to Bayern, like they always do. But nah, he had other views. It was in Borussia Dortmund then with Tuchel, and then we'll go into it, because the way he left Borussia Dortmund, there was a time there was a rift, and they were like, this guy is not coming for training because of this. We'll get to that. For now, we are still talking about his records. So from Borussia Dortmund, he moved to Arsenal. And then we all know this. In Arsenal, in the first season, he didn't score up to 20 goals because he came in January. So he was able to score, I think 9 goals or 8 goals. But it was like in just 14 appearances. And then in the next season, 21. And then he kept banging in goals. Till now, I think he's now at 7 goals in like 13 or 14 appearances. He's a goal machine. Aubameyang scores goals. So after all of this, after now that we've gone into his records, let's go to who the man really, really, really is. So I was like, okay, Aubameyang, with this issue that he's having with Arteta, is it that this guy is stubborn or what actually happened? And I think we should start with the issues he has had in the past. So before Arsenal signed Aubameyang, there were several talks in the press that this guy about Arsenal about to buy a bad boy. And as a winger, had to come up and say, no, this boy is not bad. We know when he was at Lille. We know when he was at Saint Etienne. We know his history when he was at AC Milan and being loaned around. The only reason he has issues with Dortmund then was because he wanted to move. And he not only did that, he went and he made it known to the fans and to the players and everybody that he wanted to move to. I think he said PSG, Real Madrid or one other team. And one, I think Barcelona. He made it known. And not only that, there was a contract, there was an offer for him, but the club refused to speak to them. And for that reason, he was angry. And for that reason, he decided to miss team meetings. So Arsenal's arguments, or as a Wenger's argument at the time, was that this boy behaves well when all is well. That the only reason he behaved like he behaved was because he wanted to leave, and he was not allowed to leave. So that ended that. So I was now like, okay, since Wenger said these good things about him, are there other good things about other players that he has had in the past? And in the words of his first manager at Saint-Etienne, where I said his career moved in an up trajectory, the man said, when he didn't have that when he arrived to us, he was talking about his finishing, and it came through hard work. He asked for training sessions to help himself with that. His greatest quality is humility. This man made mention of this, that he's very humble. He has a lot of humility. Mention it that again. He said humility again. Respect. And he has something else. When he hasn't done something right in a match, he asked to do it again in training, to change how he had done it and do it right. Now, it's obvious that even from a young age, this boy was humble. Somebody that came from a home where affluence was all around him, to still be humble and to still be willing to address his mistakes, one, tick, humility. Now, there was a time they were asking Aubameyang that, why is he always attending to fans? Is it that he has, don't they get on his nerves? And he said something, now in Aubameyang's words, he said, I have always dreamed of being famous, so I make the most of it. I'm often asked if it's annoying to do so many photos and sign so many autographs. No, it's not. I've always dreamed of that, so I'm not going to grumble. I put myself in the shoes of the other people. When I was little, I would have loved to have taken a photo with a star, so today I don't count. Two, this is also telling you that he's down to earth. He's somebody that always has time for the fans. He's not proud enough to maybe blow you off. There are several stars that we have seen several times when a fan will try to come and meet them up for an autograph and then they blow them off or they don't answer. We've never heard anything like this about Aubameyang. Now, I believe if you have heard the man's words, you've heard from his manager. Let's hear from his teammate. Now, his teammate at Saint-Etienne was talking about Aubameyang. He said, back at when he was at Saint-Etienne, in his words, he said he had different cars to the rest of us. He had different clothes to the rest of us. He had a style that was his own, but he was a great guy who was really committed to life in the changing room. If you asked him for anything, he'll try to help. So even among his teammates, this is another testament to the fact that Aubameyang is a team man. Even though he was obviously richer than every other person around him, like he has always been, all thanks to even football money again, with his father's advices, because as at the time when he went to Borussia Dortmund, there was a team that was interested in him. I think it was PSG or one other team, but it was his dad that insisted on him going to Borussia Dortmund, and it actually worked well for him. I don't think he would be who he is if he didn't do that. So there was a time when his dad came in, and when he was moving from Monaco, and then there was Borussia Dortmund on the table. There were other clubs that were interested in him. With his father's advices, as at the time when he went to Borussia Dortmund, there were other teams interested in him, like PSG. His father advised him that at this stage of your career, it's better for you to start from Borussia Dortmund and then rise through the ranks, away from his teammates. There was a time when he was in Saint-Etienne where during a match, he got reports from home that his car was stolen. This car was like the car that everybody knew him with. It was his most expensive car even back then. But his teammates said the way he reacted during that match, that he didn't even make mention of it. He didn't even try to call anybody. That when they told him, he was like, let's just get the match over and done with. Let's focus on the game. And they were able to win that match. And even though the car was found 2 days later with only a flat tire, the way he reacted to that showed that he's not even about the money. He just likes fast cars. And he has said it over and over again in different interviews that I'm a lover of fast cars. And that is where it ends. There was an interview of his young friend that knew him when he was small. And he said the only thing Aubameyang thinks about is football. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. Because there were talks about the Nations Cup that he went partying. Aubameyang is not the kind of person to go out to party. Most of the time when he's in the news that he travels, he's always traveling to town to see a friend. He's always traveling to town to see a family member. That's his number one character flaw. So he's not the kind of person to go to club like we all assume most times when people go to parties. I will still get to what happened in Arsenal. We'll get there. So I'm trying to build it. So we've spoken about what the manager said about him. We've spoken about what his teammates said about him. We've spoken about situations that have involved him where he did not still show his ego. Now let's go to the man himself. Aubameyang is from a home where his mom is white, his dad is black. So his mom is from Spain. His mom's surname is Crespo. If you look at Aubameyang's left hand, there is a tattoo on it written Crespo. There were interviews with Aubameyang where they asked him who his favorite footballer was. At one, he mentioned Ronaldo, which is understandable because when he was 18 and he moved to AC Milan, the star player then was De Lima. But the other player that he has made mention of is Hernan Crespo, and he idolizes this guy. And it is not confirmed, but there are rumors that Crespo, Hernan Crespo, is related to his mom. And maybe that is why he has the Crespo name on his badge. But the fact that he has the Crespo name on his hand shows you how much he really values his mom, and he still wants to keep the fact that there is white to him. You understand why I'm mentioning this Crespo as we go on. Also, Aubameyang has an African tattoo on his back, a very big tattoo of Africa. That's the only tattoo on his back. So Africa is behind him on his back to let you know how much he values his roots and how much he doesn't joke with the fact that he's from Gabon. He had several opportunities to play for other teams, but he chose to continue his father's legacy and play for Gabon. He's the highest goal scorer ever for Gabon. He's currently the captain of Gabon. You understand why I'm saying this, to tell you how much he values his nation. He doesn't joke with it. Also, another thing that Aubameyang is really sensitive about is his family. As when he was in Saint-Etienne, his girlfriend then gave birth to his son. And everybody could attest to the fact that Aubameyang became more responsible. And in an interview, they asked him that, Aubameyang, what is the secret behind your rapid change in form? Because that was when he went on the up trajectory. And he said now he has a son that is looking up to him and he has to lay examples for him. And he feels more responsible for somebody now because he now has somebody that is watching him. There have been several instances when Aubameyang scores a goal and then he wears a Spider-Man mask, he wears a Batman mask. And he said in an interview that he does all of this because his son's favorite superhero is Spider-Man. To tell you also that this guy is a family man. He doesn't joke with his wife. He has a very close relationship with his son. Now, let's get to the Arteta issue. In the beginning of the season, Aubameyang missed arrival to the camp. He did not arrive until a day later, and then there was a picture of him partying in Dubai. Now, when the news first of all came, I was like, why is this guy partying? And then he missed the game. Not only was it painful that he missed the game because he was the club captain and he was a star player, they lost that match. I think that was when everybody lost it. So I dug deep and I was like, what party did Aubameyang actually go to? Did you know that it was his son's birthday party? Like his son, the son that he wears all the masks for, the son that he always speaks about, it was his birthday party. And it is on record that he obeyed the regulations of the government. The party was not overcrowded. There was social distancing. Everything was recorded to have been followed to the T. So the fact that he came late and then he came with COVID, the fans were just reacting based on the fact that, oh, they lost that match. I feel they did not really go deep into why he missed the game. So now I'm letting you know that he missed the game because he arrived late. He was unable to make the Brentford match. And Arsenal lost that match. I think at the point where Arsenal lost that match, everybody lost it. Because we all know how much of an influence Aubameyang is. He's the captain. He's the leader in the team. He's expected to be there. And it's very, very possible that if he was around, they would not have lost that game. So I asked myself that, why did this guy miss this match? Why did he come late? And then I found out that his son had a party. And that was why he missed it. Now, this is a son that he's so close to, that he wears all these masks for, that he does fine. It is no excuse whatsoever. But he arrived late and he was punished by missing that match. So it was a punishment. It was not like he could not make the match. It's understandable that that happened. And since they lost that match, it's a very big deal. But because it is his son, I believe that this is not a disciplinary, how will I put it? It is not as big as Arsenal made it to be as at the time that it happened. Now, after that happened, it was like what led or what prompted or what gave fuel to the next thing that he did that made them strip him of the captaincy. So, what was the next thing that he did? Aubameyang asked to leave to travel to see his mom who was sick. Now, Arsenal did not tell us this. His mom was sick and he had to travel to go and check her. He was supposed to return on Wednesday so he could be around for the next day's training. But he did not arrive until the next day in the morning. And because of this, Arteta got angry and first of all, he didn't make the match. Two, stripped him of the captaincy. Now, these are two things. We all know that family is very dear to us, even as individuals. And this is an Arteta that you can see a track record of how much he really, really values his family. Now, he missed the first one because his son was not feeling fine. His son was having a birthday party, and then he missed the second one because his mom was ill. Please, Arteta. There are better ways that Arteta could have handled this. He did not even need to make this as public as he did. This is the same Arteta that blocked out Ozil. Same Arteta that had issue with Xhaka. Same Arteta now with Aubameyang. I don't know if this is Arteta blowing, or I want to believe that this is Arteta blowing things out of proportion. Then I asked myself, I was like, okay, is Aubameyang like this? Has he done things like this in the past and he was not blown like this? Or is this the first time that he's doing something like this? And then I discovered that in the match before Chelsea played Arsenal, they were asking Tuchel about Arteta. And then Tuchel said this in his own words. He said he was talking about punctuality because that was when they were still having issues of the first time that he missed because of his son's birthday. It was still in the news before Arsenal played Chelsea. And then they were asking him that, oh, because you were coach when it was at Borussia Dortmund, did you also encounter this with Aubameyang? And then he said this. He said, that's not his strength. To be absolutely on time, Tuchel, he was pretty much the only one. So when we wanted him to be on time, we just told him the meeting was 10:45 when the meeting was supposed to be 11 a.m. Then we had a good chance he's there with everybody else. It was a pleasure to work with him. Always a smile on his face. A very, very honest guy. Bit of a crazy guy, but this is nice crazy, he added. We still are in touch from time to time and exchange messages when some of us has a big win. He will still in some way always be my player. He's a winner. We won the cup together in Dortmund, blah, 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 blah. Now, this is a more matured manager handling a footballer. I'm tempted to believe that why Arteta is acting like this is because of the slump in form in Aubameyang. So it's like he's losing patience with him already. Because I don't see how Aubameyang could have been in a form of his life and he would have acted the way that he's acting. The same thing he did with Ozil, same thing he did with Xhaka, same thing he's doing with Aubameyang. Now, this podcast is not about Arteta and his decisions. It's about Aubameyang. So I will not really want to go deep into how Arteta is acting. But I just want to put it out there that Arteta in some way is overreacting and he could have managed this situation a lot better. Now, there were also rumors that Aubameyang, before the Nations Cup, he went partying. And then he got COVID because it was him and Lemina. And as fate we have it, both of them were the ones with issues. Now, these were pictures of him just sitting down at... It didn't even look like a club. They looked like a restaurant. But for some reason, because he's Aubameyang and he has had issues like this in the past, it's very comfortable for anybody to just nail him to the cross. Not only that, Aubameyang is committed to Gabon in every way. First, I mentioned the tattoo on his back to let you know how close he is. I mentioned how his father was a defender in Gabon. I mentioned how he had opportunities to play for several other football national teams, but he chose Gabon. It is strange that some people can still come up and say why he was at Cameroon, he went clubbing. He didn't even answer that. And I really appreciate the fact that he did not reply anybody that was making mention of him going clubbing in Cameroon. Somebody that was ill. It's still the same us painting our African brother black. And for some reason, everybody does not want to reason with Aubameyang. Now there's a bid on the table for Aubameyang to go to outside. I'm hoping Arsenal will let him go, even though I know they probably won't. They probably will want to keep him because they don't have a backup for him. But if there's anything, I want to put it out there that it is purely a mismanagement issue of all of these situations on ground. First issue, Son's party, we didn't even hear about it. It was more about the black man that arrived late. And then his team lost, even though he was the captain. Second issue, it was more about him arriving late again, not making mention of the fact that he was late because his mom was ill. his mom for crying out loud. Now he's down with COVID, and then we are mentioning the fact that he's going clubbing again. How about why? It is unfair to put this man in this light. This is a man that has given his best to Arsenal several times. Several. I remember against Chelsea was the one who scored the goal and then they won the FA. He's somebody that we all respect. If it is anything from the history that I've gone by, Aubameyang is the kind of player that the moment he starts to feel like he's losing his place in the eyes of the players or the fans, it will only affect his form. Sadly enough, I see him leaving Arsenal in the nearest future. And it's just because of how Arsenal has chosen to hang him dry like they've always hung their players. So I just want us to all know that it is unfair to judge Aubameyang this way. It is just people blowing things out of proportion. And he's still my legend. He's still my African brother. He's still the Wakanda Forever guy. I still remember his smile, his energy, his dedication, his drive. Even in an Arsenal team that we all know always struggles, he's still the guy that saved them several times. Arsenal fans out there, I hope you are listening to this and you are realizing that Aubameyang has just been left to hang dry for a reason that could have been handled better. Fine, I cannot say it's no just reason because he also has a hand in it. He should have been more professional. But these are issues that were plugged to family that he has always shown to be sensitive about. And this is where I'm going to rest my case about Aubameyang. Catch y'all next time on the Ball Gecko Podcast. Bless.